I want to welcome everybody that's online this morning at psmchurch.com. You're joining us live from home. Maybe you couldn't make it or have to go to work or whatever the case is. We want to welcome you. We're glad that you're joining us. Some of you are watching this weeks later on an archive, or you're listening to this on a podcast. We're so thankful that you've joined us as well. Let's give all of our online folks a hand right now and welcome them to Promised Land. Yeah. We're going to start a brand new sermon series today called Mind Monsters, and I'm excited about what God's going to do when he gets up in the middle of our mind. October is a month that is really, toward the end of the month, it's capitalizing on fear, Halloween. It's all about being scared, and if you go in stores these days, all these aisles and aisles of creepy things. I mean, I was in Lowe's the other day, and there were creepy things in Lowe's. I'm like, man, can I just get some building materials without creepy things? And I went into Home Depot, and they had Christmas trees everywhere already. What? Anyway, October, they're making billions and billions of dollars capitalizing on fear, sensation, movies, shows, all kind of stuff, and that can be entertaining on some level, but when it infiltrates and trickles down into our everyday life, it can be debilitating and crippling, even to people that are in church. And so what I want to do this month, today and the next three Sundays throughout this month, I really want us to look at what the Word of God has to say, and I want you to be free from the monsters that are in your mind that are coming up against the will of God for your life. Do you realize that everything in your life starts with a thought? Everything starts with a thought. Your business, your career, your education, your marriage, that all began with one thought. And you jumped on that thought and you rode that like a train into your career, into your marriage. As at the same time, you find yourself in a broken place or in a trash heap because of a thought that you got on and took to that destination. An affair begins with one thought. Bankruptcy, abuse, all these kind of things are begun with one thought. Thoughts are like trains. You can get on that train and go wherever that thought's destination is. And so the question I have for you, I want to just start this whole thing off by asking you, what goes on in your mind throughout the day? What goes on through your mind, throughout your mind, as you're getting ready to go to bed, as you're laying in bed at night, in the dark? What kind of thoughts are you thinking about? What kind of thoughts are you thinking about on the way to work? And I've been interviewing people this week, asking them, what are the same kind of questions? What's going on in your mind? What are you afraid of? What do you fear in your life? There is I was talking to my son yesterday, and I said, are you afraid of heights? And he said, no, I mean, kind of, but not really, And I thought, yeah, there's a healthy fear sometimes of heights. You don't want to just be, jumping off things. You want to respect and fear certain things, but there's a level where that goes beyond the norm and gets into something that's unhealthy. So the question I have for you, ask yourself this. What are the things going through my mind that's charting my course? Like it's actually dictating the path that you take, the relationships that you get in, the decisions that you make. There's so many heavy things in our society right now. When you watch the news, I mean, my goodness, the news this weekend was crazy. 900 people, over 900 people lost their lives in Haiti through this Hurricane Matthew. And then imagine what the emotions were and the fear were for people in Florida and South Carolina, people up that coast, the eastern coastline of how much rain are we going to get? How much are we going to be flooded? And you guys in San Marcos know all about that, right? You know about when the weather comes on, the rain hits. Are we going to be flooded? That fear that drives us. And so it's on all the time. And this summer, I preached a sermon. I used Tarzan and talked about fear. And one of the things I told everybody in that message was some of us just need to turn the TV off. Just turn the news off. Turn off CNN. Turn off Fox. Turn off, because it's just a barrage of negativity coming into your life. And eventually your brain begins to receive some of that and starts converting it into, what if this happens to me? What does this mean for my life? And you start living with this heaviness and this fear because of these things that are being fed to you from all over the world, through television, through Twitter, through Facebook, through Instagram, Snapchat, books, movies, all the other apps and things that are happening out there, the financial crisis, neglect, murder, rape, racism, issues happening all over the world, on your favorite social media feed or cable feed or whatever's going on. When we see all this information, we're inundated with it, we're flooded with it, we're barraged with it, we can feel so inadequate, like we can't even make a difference. Like even if we tried really hard, it really wouldn't dent what's happening in the world. It can just feel so heavy. And I honestly don't believe God created us to deal with the barrage of the world's problems. I don't think he wants us to stick our head in the sand and act like it's not there. But I do believe that we can be so engulfed and interested in everything that's going on that we forget what's actually in front of us. And that's what God wants us to help. The neighbor that's having an issue, or the family member that's having an issue, or your own household that's having an issue. God wants you to participate in that. And just don't be so concerned and worried that you're going to miss something out there. Or maybe we're entertained by that negativity. Maybe we like that. Maybe we feed off of that negativity. And so I want us to just think about these things and see what the Bible has to say about these things, because it's actually affecting our life. The election tonight is the next debate. And so we're going to have special prayer for all of you that want to watch debate tonight. We're going to have anointing oil. We're going to pray over your life and pray over your mind, your thinking. And let me just stop for a second and say this about the election. There is a lot of, obviously, there are a lot of turmoil in the presidential election, and a lot of people voting against others and struggling to vote for someone, and that's a president is an important part of our government. But there's a lot of other parts of the government that are being voted on, statewide races and city races and countywide races for commissioners and judges and mayor. And So don't just get so disengaged because of the presidential thing that you forget about all the other things going on. Research it. Find a candidate that supports the values that you have and vote. Go out and vote for that. And I also want to say that there is a proposition for those of you in Hayes County. This is just a little PSA. There's a proposition, too, that will fund a new water crossing here at Lime Kiln. So I'm not saying vote for it or against it. I'm just saying it's on the ballot. Okay. I'm going to stop right there before I go too far on that one. There's so many things going on. Election, ISIS, Iran, financial issues, the horrible violence against races, against police, against all the injustice going on, not to mention your own personal problems, you know, of just having to raise your own kids or maintain a marriage or make ends meet. Some of you have pressure from your job, from your boss, from coworkers of trying to match the quotas, you know, your sales quotas or commit, you're trying to earn commission, trying to earn a living. There's fear of, what if I don't make this deal or make that phone call or whatever? And then some of you are facing retirement in a few years, and you're trying to figure out, do I have enough saved? How can I retire? Will I ever retire? Fear, pressure. How do we navigate all these mind monsters. Show this picture of some of the mind monsters that hit people in our church. Fearful imaginations, despair, anger, sadness, worry, insecurities, guilt, inaccurate assumptions. Some of you are dealing with one of these, or two of you. Some of you are going, I've got them all. I don't know what to do. I got all those and more. These are some of the things that creep up into our mind because of some situations that have happened to us, because of some history that we have, some people in our life that have dealt with us a certain way, or we've fallen, we've made mistakes. And so we have these mind monsters that are actually dictating our path, charting our course. They are restricting the plan of God that He has for our life. A couple years ago, I preached a message in a series called Thrive, where I talked about our emotional health. And there's some people that don't want to admit that they're going through some of these things. And my point in that message, and my point today, is the answer from God today is not to deny that you have these problems, or act like you don't have these problems, or think, well, I'm a Christian, I can't have those problems, so I guess I don't have that problem, or I must be a bad Christian because I do worry about stuff, or I must not be eligible to be in the family of God because I have some anger issues, I have some guilt problems, I have some insecurities. And so we can try to ignore them or not deal with them, but I want to just tell you today that Jesus is better than any mind monster that you have. And ignoring that you have it or denying that you have it is not the solution. That Jesus loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to solve the issue that you're dealing with. He is the solution for the issue that you're dealing with. So some of you have some core problems going on that cause these, and others of you don't have that core problem. It's just a mental illness that you have. It's a mental problem that you have that is causing you to think you have that problem. And so the good news of Jesus Christ is it doesn't matter if you have the problem or don't have the problem. He's better than all that. He wants to help you with all of those things. And so that's why we're here today. That's why we're talking about this. The first thing is this. You cannot have a positive life with a negative mind. You can't have a positive life with a negative mind. And you may think, well, you know, I've given my life to Jesus. I've been baptized. I go to church. So isn't that the automatic thing that happens? I mean, I did this on the checklist, and that. So don't I automatically have everything I need? And I just want to share with you some news about that. And that is that when you give your life to God and when you surrender your heart to God, there's still a renewing of your mind that has to happen. And it's not an automatic download from heaven that instantly all of your thinking changes. We have to walk through some difficult times as a believer, and we have to allow the good news of Jesus Christ to change the way we think in our mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we will be renewed in our mind, that our minds will be renewed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that renewal is a process. And God wants you to have a shift in your thinking. Go from having stinking thinking to having gospel-centered thinking. Change the way you think. It's a gospel-centered view instead of a mind monster contaminated view. It's a change. It's a shift. Kevin Gerald wrote a book called Mind Monsters, and if you would like further study, grab this book. You can get it on Amazon, other places, called Mind Monsters. He said this: you can be on your way to heaven, but your life could be hell. And so just because you've confessed your faith and your belief in Jesus Christ doesn't mean you just give up and say, well, I'm done. Another writer, one of the leading scholars of New Testament theology, says it like this, that every generation has to cut their teeth afresh on the gospel. Meaning, that means that we all have to cut. You know what cutting your teeth is? You're chewing, you got that chew toy. This is after the pacifier stage that Will was talking about. But you're cutting your teeth on it. It's a process for your teeth to come in. And what he's saying is that this is the process, this is the renewing of the mind that you go through as a believer, that it becomes real to you. And on that video about disciple, Pastor Jeff Garner with the cool mustache talking on the video, he was saying the same thing. It went from head knowledge into heart knowledge. That's what cutting the teeth on the gospel. That's what this shift is from going from a negative mind to being a renewed mind in Christ. It's walking it out. I want to share with you a story in the Bible, Judges, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. And turn there if you would like. I want to read several passages there. But let me just give you a little background. So there's an interesting part of the Bible called Judges. It's a book in the Bible. And it's right in between two big things. On one side was the captivity, the slavery of Israel in Egypt. And then we have the judge period where Israel was ruled by judges. And then after Judges is the kingdom of Saul and David and Solomon and all the kings of Israel. But so in between the slavery of Egypt and the kings were this period of judges. And it's an amazing book. Read the book of Judges. It's just so many different principles, life principles in there. But in the 6th chapter of Judges, it talks about a time when the Israelites had allowed, somebody say allowed, they had allowed, it was their choice, the Midianites, a different group of people, to live amongst them. And because they had allowed them to live amongst them, the Midianites kind of had their way. Now, the Midianites did not make slaves out of the Jews. In fact, the Jews still owned their land. They still had their farms and their businesses and everything like that. But they had allowed these foreign people into their communities to contaminate their way of life, contaminate their biblical view, their God-centered worldview, and it shifted their thinking. And the Bible says for 7 years, the Midianites had their way with Israel. And as a result, every time crops would come up, the Midianites would come steal the crops of the Israelites. And they were kind of running scared. In fact, they were running into caves and hiding because the Midianites were just wreaking havoc. So in this certain cave, on this certain day, an angel of the Lord appears to a man named Gideon. And Gideon is not Samson. Samson was another judge in the book of Judges. Comes along later. He was not Samson. Gideon was weak, physically feeble. He was in a cave, kind of just feeling sorry for himself. He was having a pity party in the cave. Anybody know people that like having pity parties? Negative Nellies, right? Depressing Deborahs. Not this one. This is not that one. Angry Anthony's. We'll go ahead and cross the gender line there. You know, people like that. In the cave, away from society, away from real life. Anyway, God sends an angel of the Lord, it says in verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "Mighty hero, mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Now think about that. Here's Gideon up against the edge of the cave. And an angel appears and says, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." And he's like, "What? You got the wrong guy. I think I know who you're talking about. Let me show you who he is. Let's get." And the angel of the Lord is not going to have anything to do with that. "Sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. I think it might have been, I am sending you. That's probably what it was like. I'm not sending anyone else. I'm sending you, Gideon. Get up. Get out of this cave. The pity party's over. It's time for you to go and be everything that God created you to be. Get out of the cave. And I just want to say that to everybody in here today, everybody watching, everybody listening. The time has come for you to receive the prophetic word of the Lord over your life. Get out of the cave and be the person that God created you to be. But I know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking the same thing Gideon thought. And what did he say? But Lord. Oh, come on, Lord. Come on. You got the wrong guy. Mind monster. That's a mind monster coming up in Gideon's mind. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest. Mind monster, right there. My clan is the weakest. Mind monster, right there. In the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least. Mind monster. In my entire family. So what he's saying is, you got the wrong guy. There's no way I can do this because I come from the weakest family and I'm the weakest guy in the weakest family. That's a mind monster. Limiting his perception of who he is, and it's limiting his future of what God wants him to become because of this generational blindness, this generational filter that's on his life. Gideon, you'll never amount to anything. We're the weakest clan of all of Israel, and you're the weakest of all of us, and so you're never going to amount to anything. Just get in the cave and shut up. That's really what he's been told all his life. So when the prophet comes and says, mighty hero, get up out of that cave. It's time for you to be all God called you to be. He cannot hear the word of God. He cannot believe the prophetic word of God because he is so contaminated with the filter that's been placed over his life. Look what the angel of the Lord says. The Lord said to him, he doesn't even address what Gideon says. He doesn't even say anything about that. He says, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. That's a prophetic word for this person, Gideon, because he's the weakest of all, and he's fighting thousands of people. There's no way that makes sense. This does not make sense whatsoever. And I'm speaking to people in here today that have mind monsters in your life. You have filters in your life that you've been looking at yourself a certain way all of your life because of what your parents have told you, because of what your ex-spouse has told you, because of what people have told you, because of what you've told yourself, your failures, your insecurities. They are filters. They are faulty filters that have been defining you. We allow faulty filters to define us. And that's not the will of God. And that's what happened to Gideon. He is allowing this faulty filter to define him. And it begins at childhood for all of us. Our race, our color of skin, our education, our parents' education, where we grew up. All these things create a filter for us to see ourselves in. And there's all these different kinds of social media outlets and this relatively new one, Snapchat, that's really popular right now. I've just decided I can't do anymore. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. I'm done. I can't add any more of those. Just call me old or whatever. I just can't do that stuff. But I was at a wedding rehearsal the other day, and the daughter of the bride was sitting next to me at the rehearsal dinner, and I saw her on her phone. She had her Snapchat out, and she had her face there, and she was going through these filters to try to put a really cool filter on her face. And some of you Snapchatters out there know what I'm talking about, and others of you have seen people with like glitter and queen crown and all these kind of things, and that's a Snapchat filter. So I said, give me your phone, I want to try this out. So I grabbed the phone and I took this picture right here. Check out this picture. This is me on Snapchat right there. And the rabbit with the blue bow and a buck teeth. And Erica says that's disturbing. It really is disturbing. Please take that off the screen. Please, yes. But the sad thing is that some of us in here have the same type of filter when you see yourself in the mirror. Probably not a rabbit with buck teeth, but you see yourself as not worthy. You see yourself as fat. You see yourself as ugly. You see yourself as not smart enough or not experienced enough or whatever. You see yourself through a faulty filter that God never intended for you to see. And I'm here to tell you today that Jesus Christ loves you so much that he came to this planet to destroy the filter that you have on your life, to destroy the definition that you have placed on your life. So God tells Gideon, go in the strength that you have. And that's point number two today. It's time for us to get started now in the strength that you have. You can write that down as a personal statement. I get started in the strength that I have. I have right now. Some of you think, I don't have that much. You know, I don't have the resources or whatever to really accomplish much in life. I want you to be inspired and encouraged by the story of Gideon today. He is alone in a cave with nothing. And God comes and prophetically speaks over his life and says, you don't have anything, but what I'm saying over you right now will fully manifest itself, and you will have everything that you need if you will put your faith in me. And some of you don't have anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'm here to tell you today that that's all you need to get started in the path that God wants you to walk in. Even if it's just the belief that Jesus Christ came and died for your sin, was buried in the tomb, and then on the third day rose from the dead. That truth right there, and putting your faith in the truth of Jesus Christ, is all you need. Start with that. Because excuses that we have is that, well, I'm not Gideon, I'm not a Jew, I wasn't born over there, the Bible is old, blah, 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 all these excuses that we make. I'm not eligible. The truth is, the power of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came and gave his life for everyone, now the good news of Jesus is that whosoever will, at the 9:45 service, call on the name of the Lord, shall be saved, shall be equipped to do what God has called you to do. Amen. Everything that you need. Everything that you need. Moses was the same way when God called Moses. He said, Moses, you're going to lead my people out of slavery, out of Egypt. And Moses said, wait, I can't do that. You're talking to me, Moses. There's a burning bush right here that's burning and burning and burning. He's got his feet off. He sees all these miracles, and he still says, I can't do it. I have a public speaking problem. I can't speak in public. I can't do this. He has these excuses. Joseph is visited by the angel in Matthew and the Gospel of Matthew. And when the angel comes to Joseph and says, Mary, your wife is going to conceive a child by the power of the Holy Spirit, and this is going to be the Savior of the world. Joseph starts making, how can this happen? And I know that's the same process that you and I go through. I can't believe that. And the truth is that you just start with whatever you have. whatever you have. Start with what you have. Gideon, start with what you have. Start with what you have. David, when he's facing Goliath, he's facing this literal giant, not a figurative giant, a literal man that's 9 feet tall. And David is tempted to take on the weapons and the identity of his brothers, of Saul, of others. But instead, he takes what he has. I've got a sling and there's some rocks. I'm going to take what I have. He grabs a handful of rocks. He takes his sling and he slays the giant with the strength that he had. Doesn't make sense. It's an impossibility. But he took the principle of, you come with me with a sword and a spear, I come against you in the name of the Lord. And that's the attitude that we got to have when these mind monsters keep creeping up in our life. We tell the mind monsters where to go. Are y'all with me this morning? This is what Isaiah 43:19 says, "For I'm about to do something new." This is a prophetic word from God in Isaiah 43:19. "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it?" And most of us are going, "No, I don't. I don't see it." God sent me here today to you to tell you he's doing something new in your life. It's a prophetic word for believers in Jesus. Receive it today. Receive it today. "I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers and dry wasteland." That's an amazing prophetic word of the Lord to you today. He is going to turn your dry wasteland into a fruitful, life-giving river. I receive that today in my life. 2 Corinthians 10:5. This is New Testament. This is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church, a church that had all kind of issues going on in it, but it's a letter to all of us today. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God." Every proud obstacle, every mind monster that keeps people from knowing God. "We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ." I love this. I love this passage. Every mind monster that you have in your life, whatever it is for you, you take it, you take that lying spirit, that faulty filter, that thing that's dictating your future, and you say, "You rebellious thought, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to submit to the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, and the word of Jesus." You capture that thought. And if you know people, this is a discipleship passage too, talking about one another. If you know other people that are being swayed by thoughts of lies from the devil, lies of the enemy, and you know that, you see that they're being captured and contaminated by thoughts from the evil one, the devil, these mind monsters, you see them being slaves to these thoughts that are not of God, you come up alongside them and you help them capture those thoughts. And you just speak life into them. You speak life. You speak a prophetic word over their life. And I don't know if you, I keep saying prophetic today, prophetic, prophetic. And to some of you, that may be a strange term because you thought prophets were only in the Old Testaments with big robes and beards and, you know, lightning and all that stuff. But Paul, in this same book, says, "I wish that you would all prophesy." If there's one spiritual gift that I want you to have, it's that you would prophesy one to another, prophesy life. And so prophesying is not some weird, spooky thing to, prophet. You don't have to be weird to be a prophet. You can just speak the word of God over somebody's life. It's speaking things that are not as though they are. And it's not making up something weird. You are going to go live in Dallas and you're going to, you don't have to create all these weird things and tell them the future. That's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is taking the promises of the word of God that are eternal and true and established and without error and speaking the truth of God's word over somebody's life. You are not the tail. You are the head. You are not going to be defeated. You are going to win. You are not a loser. You're a winner because of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross so that you could have a new future, not so that you could be lost in your past. You speak over people's life when they're not even living in the fullness of what you're talking about, but you're speaking it over them so that they can understand. I love, there's a scene in the Lord of the Rings trilogy, the first trilogy or the second, whatever. I think it's Return of the King, where they go into this old castle and there's a king on the throne and he's got cobwebs all over him and he's, Brenna can help me with this. She's an expert in Lord of the Rings, but he's stuck. He's locked into he's alive still, but he's trapped. And they just begin to speak over him, and he comes back to life. And that's really an imagery of what God is wanting for us to do to each other. You've been lost. You've been trapped by this mind monster. You're stuck at the light, and it's turned green, and you're still there. Just the other day, I was at the intersection of Hopkins and Hutchinson, and there was a car right in front of me, first car at the light. I was the second car at the light, and the light turned green, and the car didn't go. I'm sure you've all been there before, and you're like, okay, it's green, all right. Maybe they didn't see it, you know? Maybe they're looking at their phone, maybe they're singing, maybe they're praying, maybe they're in the spirit, you know? Maybe they're just praying, they're just interceding. So I'm gonna honk, but I'm not gonna be honk like that. I'm just a little loving, a little you know, a little like, hey, it's green. You know what I'm talking about? Just a little. I don't wanna push it too hard, so I'm like, you know, boop, nothing, still nothing. And so it goes through the whole green cycle. It goes orange. It goes red. And I was just like, oh. So here comes green again. You know, hey, new beginnings, fresh starts, you know. And so green, nothing. I can see her looking around. I'm like, maybe her car broke down or something, you know. So I was like, I'll be here all day, I guess. So I want to just creep around. So I pull around. I'm not going to look, you know. I don't want her. And as soon as I get around her, guess what she starts doing? She starts going. I have no idea. I don't, if that was one of you, I love you. God bless you. I don't know. I do have a Promised Land sticker on the back of my truck, so. But I think maybe God has sent me here today to let you know the light has turned green in your life. And some of you are still stuck thinking it's red. But the truth of Jesus Christ is that he is shifting some things in your life. And he wants me to come kind of pull around beside you and say, come on, come on. Let's go. Let's go. You can do this. You see that other pedal on the other side of that big one in the middle? There's another one. There's another pedal. Present. Let's, come on, come on, let's go. Would you stand to your feet right now? What I want us to do is I want us to take a step of faith today. We're going to have an old-fashioned altar call today where I'm not going to pray for you. No one's going to pray, touch you, or talk to you, or anything like that. I just want us to have sort of a step out in faith, literal. Just pretend like you're stepping out of your cave today. And if you are in a position right now where you are ready to be freed from some mind monsters in your life that have been lying to you, that have created a faulty filter in your life, and you are ready to step on the gas and get in the plan of God for your life and not be restricted any longer by what the devil has put in front of you, then I want you to step out of your seat and I want you to walk down the aisles today and just gather up at the front. Come on right now. Come on, step out of the aisle and come on up to the front. And this is a symbol. This is just a representation of you saying, I am ready to move. And this may not be for everybody. Some of you are already moving. That's awesome. Come on down, come on down, come on down. Come closer, come closer, come closer. There's people coming in the aisles. Come close, come as close as you can. Spread out, spread out, spread out, spread out. He's going to break every chain. He's going to break every chain. He's going to break every chain. Y'all ready for him to break chains in your life? You ready for him to break mental addictions, bondage, generational mentality? Some of you are upset. Well, I was born a pessimist. My parents passed it down. I'm a worrywart. I always think the glass is half empty. You know, that's just how I'm wired. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God wants to rewire you today. He wants to reshape the way you think so that you're not trapped in that same state of being. So would you just close your eyes with me right now? And what we're saying is, Jesus, I give you my life. Would you just say that right now? Jesus, I give you my life today. I surrender my life to you today. And now I want you, just either silently or out loud, I want you to start speaking to those things. I want you to start speaking and telling God, Lord, I have fear in my life. God, I have guilt in my life. I have faulty assumptions in my life. Come on, say them out. Talk to God about them. And if you're afraid people are going to hear you, don't worry, because they're talking about their own stuff. They're talking about their own things right now. But God, we are praying and we are giving this to you, God. We're shifting it from our ownership to your ownership, God. We're transferring it from our domain to your domain. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray right now. If you are ready, just raise your hands. Raise both hands like this. I don't know if you feel comfortable this in a church or not, but what this is, a sign of surrender. And I want to pray for everybody right now. Blessings on everybody right now in prayer. Pray that the Holy Spirit of God would baptize every single person from the left to the right, to the front, to the back. Everybody watching online right now, I pray that the power of God's Spirit would flood into our being, our souls, from our fingertips to our toes, the top of our head, the sole of our feet. God, inside and out, Lord, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, let's sing this song.
There is power. In the name of Jesus.
There's power in the name.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There's power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain, break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. Break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There's power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Come on, sing it. There's power.
There is power.
Yeah, we believe in Jesus. Speak your name.
In the name of Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
Break every chain, to 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 break every chain.
Yeah,
come on, clap your hands to him right now. God, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. This is just the beginning, y'all. This is just the beginning. I want you to come back next week. Bring somebody with you. Let's see what God's momentum is going to do when we keep putting one step in front of the other, trusting God for the new word that he's speaking over your life. Maybe what you need to do is put on your dashboard, on your mirror, on your phone, on your computer, Mighty Hero, the Lord is with you. Do you know that's what God's speaking over your life? You may not even believe it or understand it yet, but that's a prophetic word. That's the name that God wants to call you, Mighty hero. And even though you don't feel like it, you don't feel equipped or eligible for that name, that's the name that God's speaking over your life, and we're going to believe it. We're going to look back years from now and go, that's something that God started right there, and now look what God has done in my life. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday.